The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
Welcome to the Business Report. In our lead story this evening, another listing on the NSX. It's always good news when the NSX is able to broaden its portfolio and give Namibians exposure to better assets.
Tian Bazaine now, CEO of the Namibia Securities Exchange, the NSX. Tian, two assets listing on the NSX today from the same company, Africa Bitcoin Corporation. Perhaps just give us a sense of the timing and the company itself.
Thanks, Gary. Yes, we are quite excited. It's a new asset class that was not available prior to today. They listed from today. They have two business entities, one being the treasury side on the Bitcoin holding, and then an SME financing arm. From there, the two different securities in terms of them being investable separately from each other. So like I say, it's a new asset class and it's wonderful news. One of the primary goals of the exchange is to bring different product offerings to our investor community. And Bitcoin is risky and it's interesting and it's new, but this is a regulated fashion for people to actually get that exposure instead of trying to just get it themselves on the internet. So it's exciting times.
Joining us on the line now is Warren Wheatley and Ashkay Karan, the CEO and CIO, respectively, of African Bitcoin. So let's chat a little bit about the listing, Warren. Let's perhaps start out with you. Maybe you can just give us a bit of background on the company. It's just useful for our listeners to know. Previously known as AltVest Capital, and a name change recently. Perhaps you can just guide us through that and give us a sense of what you guys are all about.
So AltVest Capital is a financial services firm. We've been listed on the Cape Town Stock Exchange. We graduated to the JSE in October last year. And our primary purpose is to create access to capital markets. And what that means, if you read an MBA textbook, is we created mechanisms for SMEs to raise capital from markets that they were previously excluded. And the flip side of that is we provided investment opportunities to individuals, giving them access to opportunities that they would otherwise be excluded from. And the capital from the one pool was used to subsidize the capital needed on the other hand. So we connected capital to ideas. We transitioned to Bitcoin as our primary treasury reserve and changed our name to the African Bitcoin Corporation because Bitcoin is the ultimate alternative asset. It's a pristine asset, and it's going to allow us to further those objectives. So the idea, quite simply, is accumulate as much Bitcoin as possible, give people exposure to it in regions across Africa. We start in with those in order of difficulty to access Bitcoin. So Namibia made sense, not because it's the most difficult region to access Bitcoin in. You are our neighbors. We culturally very, very similar. There's a welcoming regime, built up by your exchange and your service providers, Cirrus as an example, to that exchange. And so it's a very welcoming platform, and I congratulate them for that. It's I've been making the joke all day, and it's probably stale now, but the guys have made me feel like a young prince being introduced to all these investment houses and important people. It's been an incredible experience, and I think it's very forward-thinking, and I hope it pays the country dividends because it's revolutionary and very, very progressive.
All right, Warren, let me just delve into perhaps what you mentioned there. So from the side, it looks like two entirely different business models under the same umbrella, one of which is effectively a broker that looks for capital on the open markets and is able to reinvest that capital back into companies that normally wouldn't be perhaps serviced by the traditional banking sector. And secondly, then a Bitcoin treasury, which may be able to contribute to those funds, I would imagine, through being able to access those balance sheets. But that does feel like an entirely separate play. Is it fair to say that it's a bit of a pivot?
No, I don't think so. And let me explain why. Financial services businesses that are involved in this space or in similar activities need a balance sheet built up with something. So if you think of an insurance company, you think of a bank, you think of even an asset manager, right? Traditionally, those assets have been government bonds, treasury bills, gold even. And they would use that to attract capital so that they could conduct their activities, right? So a bank, and these are even regulated, or an insurance company, for insurance companies, they've got Reg 38 in South Africa, and with banks, there's different regulations. But you've got to build a balance sheet first before you can start undertaking the exciting business of investment banking, right? The difference we've made is we've decided to build up our balance sheet, and we've chosen Bitcoin as the pristine asset to do that with. And there's currently a time in the world where that is now not only pursued, but encouraged by capital allocators across the world. So if we announce today that we were building up our balance sheet and we were asking equity investors to contribute and participate, and we were going to take that and buy soybeans and maize or oil, there might not be as much excitement. There wouldn't even be excitement for that if it was gold. The fact that it's Bitcoin, and that Bitcoin is now largely accepted as an acceptable asset for this type of stuff, we get in immense interest and offers from offshore and from hedge funds in the Bahamas and that kind of thing. So the time is right. It's an opportunity for us to build up our balance sheet. And that's going to allow us to do the other things we want to do in a much better, quicker way. If I grow from my current market cap of 120 million rand to 3 billion, all supported by Bitcoin, that makes discussions with capital allocators a lot easier than it currently is. And it's also going to allow me to access capital at cheaper prices. And that's going to allow me then to support SMEs and funding them in pursuance of a growth strategy for Africa.
Okay. Ash K. Karan, Chief Investment Officer for African Bitcoin Corporation. Ash K. Warren mentioned once or twice the term pristine asset. Perhaps you can just give us a sense of what that does mean. And perhaps also what has feedback from investors been to date on the name change and the introduction of the Bitcoin aspect to the offering?
Yeah, sure. Happy to. So I think there's been a lot of talk in recent years about the impact of inflation and, currency debasement and expansionary monetary policies. And all of that has come together to create the sentiment that in many respects, we are getting poorer year on year. With expansionary monetary policy plus inflation, your Namibian dollars or your rands just aren't going as far as they used to. What makes Bitcoin unique is that it is inherently scarce, which means that it is not subject to expansionary monetary policy. It's not subject to inflation in the way traditional capital is. And that's one of the unique characteristics that makes Bitcoin attractive to investors. The fact that there's only going to be so many of these, in this case, 21 million. And so there is this school of thought that it's a purer or harder form of money for that purpose. In terms of investor interest, so I think what makes our entry into the Namibian market unique is that there are two listings, actually. There is Africa Bitcoin Corporation, which is a listing, and that's the holdco. And it owns an asset manager, but that asset manager also manages a 400 million rand SME private credit fund, which is also listing alongside it. And so what has been quite interesting is that we've been having conversations with the same investors about these two different stories. One is a very traditional business. It is raising wholesale capital and giving that and on lending that to small businesses to create jobs. The other is this progressive, innovative business. It's raising capital and buying Bitcoin. And in both cases, there's this genuine interest, albeit into different mandates. You know, the Bitcoin treasury business is exciting to high growth, innovative, dare I say, younger or retail investors. And then private credit is very interesting to your traditional asset managers, the guys who want yield, who want a good impact story. And so that's been very rewarding for us to see both stories resonate.
Okay. You did mention now, if I can just delve into that for a second, Bitcoin being a pristine asset, perhaps being better than money. But Bitcoin is also subject, because money is subject to inflationary policies and government policies, Bitcoin's insulated from that. But Bitcoin does have the unfortunate situation that it is insulated from that, but is open to international volatility. This was the first year ever that volatility was under 75% for this asset class. So how do you deal with volatility in backing effectively fairly high-risk loans with a volatile balance sheet?
Let me pick that up. Right, so I think we've seen a structured reduction in the volatility in the first instance. So I think it's going to flatten out probably around 50-40%. Now, the simple answer for that is that we would build up enough of a buffer and only use intelligent leverage so that it's never an issue. So, you know, we wouldn't start leveraging the Bitcoin until much later in our journey, until we've accumulated at least 2,100 coins or more. Right, so we're talking about growing from a market cap with our NAV now at, you know, 120 million to about 2 billion before we even start contemplating what that looks like. Because we can access debt right now, right? The difference is we don't have a balance sheet to back it. We've raised 500 million. And so we're going to continue doing that. We're not going to stop raising debt. We think the addition of Bitcoin is net positive to the balance sheet. And the volatility, I find, I think it's a utility. I think it's a feature and not a bug. Because for a young company, some volatility is what we need. We need to be shaken around a bit. We need to be roughed up every now and again. That's what brings the retail interest, right? Young guys don't want a stock that stands still and, you know, that gives you 6% a year for the rest of its life. And it's a virtuous cycle, because once retail gets involved and the volatility increases, then analysts wake up. And when analysts wake up, the asset managers wake up. And when the asset managers wake up, the pension funds wake up. So I think it's a necessary, if you want to call it evil, for a young company looking to grow, right? So we welcome volatility. We hope it's both sides volatility, up and down, and not just the one side. And that's all we ask the finance lords for. You know, give us both.
Okay, Warren, let's delve into, you're asking Namibians to invest hard-earned money into your stock. Give us a sense of perhaps some of the successes that that the organization can claim over the last couple of years in terms of your core business model of funding SMEs.
So we've got great stories. We funded SMEs across both our mediums, equity and debt, 514 billion. We're only 3 years old. We understood that being a startup meant that it would be difficult to win over trust. And that's one of the reasons we listed. We're one of the youngest, not many companies outside of SPACs are as young as us, right? But we subjected ourselves to that governance, the regulatory frameworks, the compliance, so that we could win over the conviction of investors, right? And it's worked. We've also really good at execution. So in the 2 years that our private credit fund has been running, we deploy actively. And so we've deployed debt products in the region of 320 million to over 40 different family-owned businesses, and have created 1,400 jobs in the process. Now, we're looking to replicate that success in Namibia, and this is step one in that journey. We fundamentally believe that SMEs are the growth engine of any economy. South Africa is plagued with a joblessness problem, and this is a mechanism and an antidote to that in the small way that we can. So we've been highly impactful. We release our results today, so investors are going to get a better sense of the numbers behind the story. We also publish on our websites what we call our impact report. It's published quarterly. And there we tell the human story behind what we're doing. And there are incredible stories, and we want to bring those here. We've also developed a very unique model. I like to call it, we are a corporate finance desk for SMEs. So every SME, if we like the deal, they meet Akshay and I, they present to our team. It's white glove service. It's not an online application and some AI breaks the bad news or the good news. We price your product for your business, for your risk profile. We have discussions. We structure a debt deal that works for you, that gives you a chance of surviving and hopefully thriving. I'll give you an example. We have a proprietor of a children's daycare center, and she said to us, "You know, I get my last installment from parents in November, and I don't see or hear from them from late in Feb. And so I won't be able to service debt." So we structured a term facility. I don't think a bank would ever even, you know, after laughing at you and you being escorted out the lobby, they would never ever even think of this. But her payment cycle runs from Feb to November. She gets a capital moratorium and until March the next year, and then and so it goes. And that has actually injected life into her business, because she can run through her toughest months without a creditor barking at her, right? And that's what I mean when I say we are a corporate finance desk. So Akshay is an expert in leverage finance. He's worked at some of the biggest. Akshay, maybe you say sure. This point, right?
Yeah, I think, Gary, what's important is it's. I think it would be naive to just look at this Bitcoin thing and think that's it. To the business behind the business is basically, you know, traditional finance operators. And what we want to do is we want to use this financial engineering around this exciting asset class, Bitcoin, but at the same time, still do what we've always been doing. And that is high impact investing in the real economy, you know, creating pathways for large institutions to provide capital that can actually go into the pockets of real, you know, resilient entrepreneurs. And this model worked in South Africa, and it's something we're really proud of, and it's something we want to bring to Namibia as well. So this is...
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Just on that, as a marketer, you often look at what happens with things like rebrands and what have you, and you yes. sort of wonder what the rationale is. The ability to buy Bitcoin and use it, you know, as a sort of a form of guilt against debt could have been done in a fund at the bottom end of the company. Instead, you've chosen to rebrand the company and lead with what is potentially quite a risky model, because as you are doing, you have to spend a lot of time explaining what you're not. Yes. So just perhaps very briefly, just the rationale behind kind of throwing everything at the Bitcoin brand.
Yeah. So I'll start off by saying the core business, which is the SME lender, is actually quite well established. And it's part of the reason why we're listing two instruments today, because that business is quite well understood. It's well established. It's able to attract wholesale institutional capital. And so what has happened is it started off being incubated within the group, but it is very quickly growing a life of its own, and it's becoming more mature and more independent. And so we feel that these two futures are no longer so tightly tethered together. And so it doesn't inherently prejudice the private credit business for the holdco to adopt this new identity. I'll let Warren speak to the rationale for the identity, but I think to make it quite simple, I don't think that this Bitcoin strategy works unless you really embrace it fully. And I think there's a lot of examples of businesses that have kind of gone one foot in on a Bitcoin treasury strategy. And what eventually happens is the market burns them. But Warren, I leave that to you to provide more color on.
Warren, perhaps you can, we are running out of time, gentlemen. Perhaps you can just wrap that up along with the rationale for listing in Namibia. Often for small companies, being listed on one entity is an enormous amount of compliance and work. And we know that just gets more and more. And choosing to list on multiple entities, certainly in other jurisdictions, you know, adds to that burden. So what is the rationale, perhaps for the rebrand very briefly, and then for bringing the assets to Namibia?
So, I mean, it's precisely what Akshay said. It's not something you can do half-hearted. And what we've noticed is that there's a first mover advantage in every region, right? And in every region, the playbook has been, you know, start, rebrand, let people know what your bona fides is, what the aim is, and go out there and do it. So we wanted to make and put our stake in the ground. We're the first in Africa. We're going to enjoy a moat of 12 to 18 months. It takes a lot of conviction, a lot of presentations to change a name, to change a strategy. And it's not it's a signal to the market that this isn't just we haven't just done up the front window of the shop. We've changed the machinery in the back as well to cater for this, right? Why Namibia? Is that in the first instance, your financial markets here had the foresight to invite us. So we were invited, first of all, right? Which is incredible. And I take my hats off to them. It's so progressive. The arrangement, the exchange has developed with the brokers to invite companies from South Africa to come and list here. I think it's a wonderful vision. And we're glad to be the first. And in most things, we try and be the first. We're pioneering. But Namibia, of course, one of the reasons why it made sense to do this one first is that there are limitations to buying Bitcoin. It's difficult. Namibia has a fractured relationship with crypto, and it's still not solved. And I think it's still going to take some time, even though the posture towards the asset class has changed by the regulators. There's definitive improvements, but it's still going to take time. So you guys have your two companies that have been given provisional licenses. They're in a sandbox environment right now. They're cased in, but they're still going to have to present those tests. The regulator's still going to have to look at the tests. It could take anything up to 2 more years. I don't think Namibians or anyone else for that matter should be prevented from easy access to what is a pristine asset. The investment returns are too great to ignore. The attributes of the asset are too great to ignore. And we are tired of Africa falling behind on these things. Already we own a disproportionate amount of the asset relative to other jurisdictions, and we want to fix that. Namibia is welcoming. And, you know, there's a saying that skill, capital, and content travels where it's most respected. And this was a natural flow for our capital to come because of how well Namibia is now treating capital market participants.
Gentlemen, Akshay Karan and Warren Wheatley, CIO and CEO of Africa Bitcoin Corporation, congratulations on your listing. We hope that Namibia is kind to you and that you see great fortunes in bringing your assets to our shores. And well done to Tian Bazain and the team at the NSX for expanding the portfolio there. Remember that you can get this episode and all other previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, or Android. Thanks for tuning into the Business Report.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.